Today we begin a series of conversations that we're calling Unreasonable Manifesting. In a way, we could say a better title for this particular series of conversations might be Wet Water, or Sun-Filled Sunlight, or things that are obvious that really don't need to be said out loud, but it is probably really helpful to say this out loud because it might not be quite that obvious. So when we talk about unreasonable manifesting, we're talking about that idea that when you're doing intentional manifesting as opposed to default manifesting, which reasonable, unreasonable is not a factor when it comes to default manifesting, which is the vast majority of what you're doing. When you're looking at what you're intentionally manifesting, in other words, those things that you've set aside as projects that are part and parcel of somehow or another the thing that you are trying to get done, but yet for whatever reason can't seem to get done, your reasonability may very well be the thing that has gotten in the way. It may not be, but it is something to consider. And we would recommend, if we were in your shoes, that what you do is that you decide that you're in the right place at the right time in the right way, for one thing. That's where you start, which is itself highly unreasonable. If you think about the contrast that is leading to the fact that you have a desire for something that you appear to not have, it is a very unreasonable statement to say, I've been in the right place at the right time in the right way. But it is also true. You are in the right place at the right time in the right way, right here and right now. That's part of the unreasonability of it. But we're going to go even further than just that. Although that right there, if you did nothing else but that, would shift a lot of the vibrational tones that you have towards this particular topic. Physical reality is, of course, extending through you, and it is happening for you on your behalf and to your benefit. That itself is an unreasonable statement. Logic would dictate, as well as empirical investigation would definitely dictate, that that's not the case, because things existed before you were born and things will exist after you die. The way anyone with any common sense could tell you that they know that's true is because they have known someone before they were born, and they've known someone after they died, and things didn't just disappear when that person was dead, and they didn't not exist before that person was born. And that makes a lot of sense. It's very reasonable. But we're talking about unreasonable manifesting. We're not talking about how you reason your way into something. We're talking about being willing to walk away from the reasonability. When you think you understand something, for example, you're quite likely incorrect because you are incapable of understanding anything at all in the using the terms of understanding that you're defining. Because to understand something, you have to fix it in time and or space and be able to analyze it and be able to describe it. And it's likely going to be a description that's based in the past. The past doesn't exist. Again, an unreasonable statement, because the past is just simply a collection of ideas that you have in the present that you're labeling the past and you're calling memories. But of course, that's not reasonable at all. That's highly unreasonable. In fact, it might be quite insane for all we know. But when we're talking about reasonability versus unreasonable manifesting, what we're talking about is recognizing that reasonability is a technique. It is a skill that you've developed over time. You didn't come this way. It's something you had to learn how to do. And well-meaning people taught you how to do this. To your benefit, not to your detriment, very much to your benefit, you asked them to do so. Not in a way that you would recognize now, but in a way that as a being of light, fully formed, coming forth into this physical reality, you wanted to get down this whole, I'm an individual, I'm not the same as who I really am, I am not the same as all that I see, I am individualized, and I have my body, which is not the same as all these other bodies, and I have my experience, which is not the same as all these other people, and what they're saying about their experience, and I have to figure out a way to sort of straddle all this and figure out how to manage it. It's quite an amazing experience. And you're not required by any stretch of the imagination to figure out how it is that you're going to do this. In fact, we would say you're in the right place at the right time in the right way right now, and everything that's happening for you is happening on your behalf and to your benefit, and that all is well. These are also very unreasonable statements because you have eyes and you have ears and you have the ability to analyze the past and to project into the future, and you can look at certain events and situations and you can say, no, there's nothing good about this. This is not, there's no way that all is well would apply to that situation. A very reasonable statement. But we're not here to be reasonable. And we understand why you would look at it in those terms and why you would think, well, that's the thing that is necessary to be done. And this is the thing that is required because of what happened before and what is going to happen later. But that level of reasonability is not particularly beneficial when it comes to intentional manifesting. It is useful for things like building bridges, and it is useful for things like baking cakes. And it is useful for having a desire to be about a process. But what we're talking about here is we're looking at the intentional manifesting that you've been doing with the things that you've set aside in your project room, the things that we've been talking about, the very big deals, the things like wanting more money, unreasonably wanting more money, wanting health and well-being that is unreasonable in terms of you wanting something that isn't seemingly achievable through extant or known means, wanting relationships to improve without having to do the hard work to make it happen, wanting your career or the way you're expressing yourself creatively to be powerful without needing to go through specific, arduous, predetermined steps. When you decide it's okay to have what you're wanting, reasonability, unreasonability goes out the window. The only time you're being reasonable is when you don't believe you can have what you want, and so you're beginning to negotiate with either yourself, your idea of the universe as an entity like God, or the Holy Spirit, or your helpers, or whatever it is you may be negotiating with, or negotiating with other people. And by negotiating, we mean oftentimes manipulating, trying to get other people to do things for you, to do things on your behalf and to your benefit so that you will feel better. So one of the dilemmas with being reasonable about something is that it delays the experience of feeling better. And feeling better is the key to everything. When you feel better, as you feel better, as you allow what feels better to you to rise up to meet you, as you allow this to be the case, things come into alignment with the having. That's the entire point of the feeling better. Well, actually, that's not true. When it comes to manifesting, the point of feeling better is to bring yourself and whatever it is that you're conceiving of, whatever it is that you're intending, to bring those into alignment, because you do need the feel better in order for the manifesting to occur. It won't happen otherwise. Now, this is not a topic of discussion or controversy when it comes to things like breathing in and out, gravity, running water, electricity, the things that are happening by default, where there's not enough contrast even really to look at those things and say, well, did this and how did this and how did this? It doesn't make any sense in those instances. And in fact, it so much doesn't make any sense that it's quite easy to dismiss them and to say that doesn't apply over here. And this is more like waving a magic wand over here with these projects. Maybe that is the case. And if that is the conclusion you find yourself drawn to, then we would recommend that instead of trying to figure out what it is that you're supposed to be doing, that you recognize that you're doing the right thing at the right time in the right place in the right way right now, and all is well. Today being the day of your great good, another unreasonable statement, and now being the time and the place where everything that is happening for you on your behalf and to your benefit, again, a massively unreasonable statement. This is where you begin, another unreasonable statement. You can't just begin here because as everyone knows, which, by the way, should be the clue as to what's going on here, as everyone knows, as all empirical data would point to, everything is going in this direction and it's going in this way, or this is unknowable. You can't just say all is well because you don't really have all the data to be able to figure out, well, what is the all and what does well even mean? So if you'll notice, there's one clue as to what reasonability versus unreasonability, again, a false dichotomy, it's not really true, because there is really no such thing as reasonability, but we'll get to that in a moment. In the fake seesaw of unreasonable versus reasonable, what reasonable is what appears to be observable on an objective level. When we use the word unreasonable, we're not really asking you to throw the baby out with the bathwater. We're not asking you to do something wild and crazy. We're not suggesting you do anything at all, in fact. What we are suggesting is that you begin to think about and put your attention on what it is that's rising up to meet you. And notice that that is exactly, literally, specifically what is happening, that those things are, in fact, rising up to meet you. Today being the day of your great good, and now being the time where all this is happening, and here being the place where it is occurring, again, more unreasonable statements. The only thing that is occurring is that which is to your benefit, another highly unreasonable statement. Nothing you're observing matches that, most likely. But then again, you're the reason why these things are happening, massively unreasonable. You are the reason why everything that is happening for you, on your behalf, and to your benefit. Another massively unreasonable, if not insane, statement. Reasonability is based upon what you can observe, but it isn't really. That's what it appears to be. One of the rules that does not follow its own rules is the rules of objective reality. If you actually sit down and observe what could be easily called objective reality, you will see that in its current state, as you see it with your eyes and hear it with your ears, that everything you're observing is in perfect harmony with everything else. That is observable, and it's observable in an objective way. But then these so-called reasonable rules will come in and say, oh, but what about what happened before and what happened later? Well, you can't observe what's happened before, and you can't observe what's going to happen later. You don't have the ability to be objective about those things, because they're not in your direct experience. Now, this is where we start with this series. To define our terms, we've now talked at great length about reasonable versus unreasonable. Again, it's a false dichotomy. There is nothing reasonable, in fact. Everything is, in fact, unreasonable. But it's not really unreasonable. The real issue here is objective versus subjective, but even that's not true because there's nothing objective. Everything is subjective. Your ability to perceive something is defined, if we use purely physical terms, your ability to observe something is defined by your eyes, the state of your eyes, your ears, the state of your ears, the nervous system, your brain, and then the values that you're assigning to what you're observing. Because you can say that's a tree. So if we are using the English language, that is a tree. Those sounds don't necessarily mean anything to any other people. It could just be a small group of people who speak English or who understand what the English language sounds like. How is that objective? How is that reasonable? So we're not trying to poke holes into anything. We're just saying that the presentation of objective reality as a reasonable observational point is highly unreasonable in and of itself because it ignores whole vast swathes of things that are going on. We are not, however, arguing for the correctness of our position. We're not doing that. We're just opening up the idea of the argument and saying, we know that when we say something like unreasonable manifesting, it's going to sound like we're talking about magic, not with a K, but magic like sleight of hand magic. And we're not. We're not really talking about anything anywhere like that. But we do understand why it is that you would think that what you're supposed to be doing is the right thing. And you would think that what you're supposed to be doing is the thing that will get the job done. That goes in alignment with all of the reasonableness that advertises itself in this way, that way, or the other way. But probably to begin now, having defined the terms, to begin now to talk about the application of the idea of unreasonable manifesting, the first thing we'll say, and in fact it's the main thing, is that your manifesting is not really so much based upon the decision you make as it is your willingness to allow it to happen. We've said it before in a lot of different ways, but we'll say it again, and this makes it very unreasonable. Your primary job, if you were going to give yourself a job, which you don't have, but if you were to have one, your primary job would be to allow the thing you are desiring to manifest for you, because you don't really have much of a functional role in manifesting. In fact, your functional role of manifesting is measured in seconds, not even minutes. It's your desire, given focus and given permission, as we've talked about before many, many times, going through the process, if there is a process, which there isn't, but we'll define it as a process for the purpose of this conversation, and then we'll discard that. But you have the contrast that leads to the desire that fuels your imagination, and you begin to imagine something that you actually want to have, and then you begin to make it real for yourself by intending it, by giving it physical attributes and giving your body a role in the having of it, like seeing it in your hand or hearing someone talk about how it's working, or just having that general feeling that you have about the establishment of something in your presence, in physical presence. So then once you've done that, and that, you know, the first part, the desire and the contrast and the imagining may take a while. It depends on how willing you are to play with it. But once it begins to quicken and it comes into focus, and this is where it's important, because you've got to have jacks or better for this to be of any relevance. It's got to feel better, in other words. When you begin to intend, that's a matter of seconds, where you begin to see yourself and you sit down and you have a very specific intentional act of sitting down and intending by wrapping the idea into physical reality, giving it physical attributes and qualities so that it can come into manifesting, because nothing comes through you that you do not give your permission to have. And there are two gates. One is you've got to assign physical values, and the other is that it has to feel better to you. And without those gates being cleared, it stays in your imagination, just goes around and around. And that's perfectly fine. That's where Godzilla lives. And the reason why you don't have Godzilla rampaging downtown is because it doesn't feel better. You're in the right place at the right time, in the right way, right now, and all is well. Everything that's happening here is indeed happening for you, on your behalf, and to your benefit. Those statements are about the gates, about the fact that intuition, where the rubber really meets the road, which is the feel better of whatever the thought is, the action is, or the words are, that right there is the reason why Godzilla can't rampage your town. But you will have a cute little lizard owned by a friend of yours who hilariously names it Godzilla, just thinking that's really funny. So today being the day of your great good, and now being the time where all of this is happening, and here being the place where it's occurring, and now being this moment, again, all these unreasonable statements, all is well. That's where you begin. We would recommend you go into your art project room, where you have all these very big deals, things about money, things about your body, things about relationships, things about work and career, and possibly other things, but those generally are the general categories that these fall under. And begin to imagine yourself having what you're wanting unreasonably, and not stretching it out to try to get the big win, but just imagining that you actually have it and beginning to intend it. And recognizing that reasonability and objectivity have no role here. They really don't. Those are tools that you're using for very specific purposes, like baking bread and building bridges. And we highly recommend you use them in those places. We do not recommend you use reasonability to define who you are or what you're capable of having or what you're in fact actually having. Because reasonability and objectivity and logic are designed specifically to be sort of their intra-manifested tools. They're how you apply this one manifested object, really manifesting object, in application and in relationship and in alignment and in usefulness to this other. Like, you take a screw, you insert it into a piece of metal, you take a bolt on the other end, and then perhaps you take a wrench or maybe you take a screwdriver, depending on how it's set up, and you fasten them all together so that two pieces of metal are bound together with a bolt on one end and a screw on the other, and the bolt goes around the teeth of the screw and it holds together the two pieces of metal using a tension dynamic involved. And this is all logical. This is all dealing with objective reality at a reasonable level. But why you use it, what it's for, is not reasonable necessarily. And you can use intuition here just as much as you would use logic. Knowing when and how to approach it, we'd recommend you rely upon intuition, which is not going to be airy-fairy. It could be very, very seemingly quite practical. But you just have a sense of your connection to these pieces of manifesting reality that are an extension of you, the pieces of metal, the bolt, the screw, the tool of whatever kind it is, a wrench or a screwdriver or both, and of course your hands. And you use all of these together in conjunction, and not to mention your eyes, and perhaps to a certain extent your nose, and you pay attention to, and your ears, and pay attention to the sound, and you're using all these tools to assemble two pieces of metal with a bolt and a screw. And that's really great. And we know we're using some of the wrong words, but we do really want to say very clearly, that's you using reasonability to a very specific function. That's you using logic to a very specific function. Manifesting reality intentionally out of thin air is not a reasonable function at all. It's crazy. You're nuts to think you could do this. But yet you do, over and over and over again. Even the things you think are sitting in the art room that haven't gotten a good breathing out or haven't found any form at all, you're actually having plenty of a lot of those things. You just are not necessarily noticing them. So this is where we begin with this series. This is definitely not where we end. This is just where we're starting. And one of the things we're very much looking forward to are the elements of all of these conversations that will likely come into play through your questions, because your questions are going to be where the rubber meets the road here. And we highly recommend you bring your reasonable objections to this unreasonable series of conversations, specifically for the airing out and to see whether or not what we're saying, rather, but what you're hearing, because you don't know what we're saying, you'll know what you're hearing, whether what you're hearing matches what you actually feel in alignment with. Because again, one of the most unreasonable parts of this series is going to be that we do not recommend you believe anything we say. We don't recommend you take it on trust or faith. We don't recommend that you say, oh, well, that must be right because those ghosts said so. No. Pay attention to your own intuition, and if you reject something, reject it. You don't need to. You're not being a good student, because this is not a classroom, by taking everything we're saying and then trying to figure out how it fits together yourself. If it does not easily fit together, ignore it. So, what we'll say to bring this conversation to a close is that thing that's highly unreasonable that we love to say each and every time we say it. And that is this, that you are in the right place at the right time in the right way, and that we are most delighted and most pleased and most honored to be connecting with each of you in all the ways that we have done so, because we know that as wonderful and as delightful and as amazing as all of this has been, it's only going to be getting better and better and better from here.